And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I'm in a rebuild mode anyway, so I don't even care at this point. Like, I'm just like, my starting third baseman is Domingo Leyva.
That's not so good.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite All-Star Break show, Over the Radar, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. There's another Alex Pardee double monster All-Star card in there that took $20 of my money. Welcome. Hey, Ian did the rundown, so it's all players that 8-year-olds have heard of in the show today. Your friend of mine, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friends. It's just so darn good to have Nando DeFino back in the right position. I was tired of it. I'm just glad you're back, bro.
Apologies to Glenn Colton and Alex Cushing, I guess.
And Ariel Cohen. That's not
and Ariel
that.
Cohen,
just,
yeah.
No. I'm just talking about the fact that I don't have to do the opening anymore. Because I always felt like, you know, it's like when if Garrett Cole were to get injured, like I'm just the next pitcher in. You know what I mean? Like you're the best at this. So
no,
like,
come on,
I'm just happy to have you back.
It's just a familiarity breeds contempt. My friend of yours, Derek Raba.
What's going on, guys?
Right, are you your friend and mine? I lost track.
It works either way.
You're both.
Yeah. I think I'm everybody's friend. I try to be. I don't know if it's always the two-way street, but...
You're my friend. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's the All-Star break. So we figured... I mean, like, a lot of people are taking their shows off. We don't roll like that. We actually had 7,000 texts going back and forth trying to find a time that would work because... Mainly me. Also, the NFL draft kit launched, and that kind of threw everything for a curve. Ian's got to go into the city, so we got to end this show early.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Speaking of going into the city... I'm on season 4, episode 2 of Turn, and it is like, I wouldn't, you know what, friendship, I won't make DVR bleep words out, but it is fantastic, man.
Thanks.
I mean, outside of the Woodhull family, this is, anyone with the last name Woodhull can get out, but it's like, so the rest of the show is so awesome.
It's so cold.
Is it though?
There was a moment, I guess, I think it was about like a week ago, where you started sending me texts about how cool Benedict Arnold was. I was like, just hold on there.
They ruined him. You know what? He was such a badass for like the first two episodes. And then they just kind of, I mean, I know history, but like they could have made him a little less lovesick and, I don't know, obtuse, like unaware.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it happened. So. It was a funny, well, you know, we don't have time to get into
it. All right, you're right. We'll have time after.
We'll have time, another time to get into it. But thanks for watching. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
After we talk about Pete Alonso, if we got time.
I've got stuff to say about Pete Alonso and the Home Run Derby. I mean, come on. Did you watch the Home Run Derby?
No.
Oh, DVR, did you watch the Home Run Derby?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the best Home Run Derby. And I was at the 2008 Home Run Derby at Yankee Stadium. My family still had season tickets back then. And we were at the Derby that Josh Hamilton went nuts at.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Well, this one was better.
I left that one early to go see a midnight screening of Batman.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
No, wait, I'm sorry. No, wait. My bad. I was there. I left the All-Star game early to go see a midnight screening of Batman.
Okay. We sold the All-Star game tickets and paid for like the whole season.
Nice.
But we went to the Home Run Derby. It was my dad and my two brothers and myself. And great memories, actually. And then watching it with my two sons and with my wife. What a great night. And Pete Alonso, the thing that kind of struck me about Alonso was that he was absolutely determined to win. And my wife was like, no, I'm rooting for Trey Mancini. He had cancer. I was like, yeah, I get it. I get it. And I would be delighted if Mancini wins. But the guy's making $636,000 a year playing baseball. And he's going to make $1 million tonight. And he did. And he was determined. He was like, I'm going to win. And this little head bob that he was doing. And like, I was like, Mancini puts up, what, 21 in the final round? And I turned him off. I was like, look, if Alonso wins this, he deserves it. Because he's not going to, you know, sneak through this. And he really did great. I mean, you could tell that the other players don't like him very much.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. You could see he didn't have nearly as much love, but he also was in his own zone. He was like, no, I'm doing this. This is this is mine.
Like,
this
why do you think they don't like him?
Don't know. I mean, maybe because he called out Aaron Judge a couple of months ago. That I didn't like that very much. When he said, you know, you could talk about Aaron Judge being the best player in New York, but you got to be on the field to be the best player, or something to that effect. I didn't like that very much. So, you know, but Pete Alonso, DVR, what did you think of Pete Alonso that night?
I actually thought the stage presence from Pete Alonso was great. I thought it was kind of either loved the performance because it was fun and amazing, or he kind of played the heel well enough where you could say, right, I want totally. Judge to show up next year and beat this guy. Right. You could kind that of look at thing. It either way. Like, Pete Alonso seems like the guy who's made for the current format of the Derby. And the fact that he really loves the event. This is something that came up. Britt mentioned this. Like, you could just tell he wants to be there. There's so many players that choose not to do the Derby. It seems like he wants to go every year and win it every year, doesn't it? Like, yeah. I tweeted this after it happened. He's like the Joey Chestnut of home run derbies. Like,
he kind of is.
Is he going to win five more of these? And is it going to be amazing every single time? Because other people are going to want to beat him. The better he gets at this, the more other players are going to want to go out there on that stage and beat him.
Vlad Jr., you could just see. Vlad wants to win. Now, Vlad's going to come back and try to beat him. Judge could come back. Stanton could come back. Like, he made it into a major event. It was more entertaining than the All-Star game last night.
And I think it will be indefinitely. I mean, I think the All-Star game is a nice tradition. But when you parade out some of the very best pitchers in the game, it does not often make for the most exciting exhibition.
No.
You could love pitching, and that's totally fine. But you're also seeing guys in such small slices. It's not the same as watching a starter dominate for 6+ innings ordinarily. Like a playoff, if you love great pitching, you want to see those guys in the postseason, you know, when everything's on the line, right? You don't need to see them with an extra tick in velocity just dominating for an inning. So I think they do some cool stuff now to make the All-Star game a bit more interesting. They've been miking up players for a few years. I think more stuff like that certainly helps, but
But it doesn't help the players, man. Like, those guys cannot hit or pitch when someone's talking to them. Like, I'm like, don't talk to them while they're swinging. Like, it's fun, but it's not. If I were a baseball player, I would not get mic'd up when I'm hitting.
Can you imagine how difficult it would be? Just anyone who listens to the show, if they had to put that one earpiece in and listen to the nonsense that we're spewing while trying absolutely. To even play slow pitch softball, it'd be so distracting. So the fact that these guys can go in there and stand in against the best pitchers and not look completely ridiculous is another marvel of just how great these guys are.
Kind of thought they looked a little ridiculous when Tatis is like, they're like, what are you looking at, Joe Buck? I'm like, Joe, shut up, Joe Buck. And I typically like Joe Buck more than most people, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I like Joe Buck. I'm fine with Joe Buck.
I wonder why.
Why does everyone else hate Joe Buck?
Oh, he's kind of elitist and annoying and nepotism and all that.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look, I never met the guy in real life. You know what I mean? He has that vibe of like the dickhead in the 80s high school comedy.
Does he?
Do you think so?
No, I'm going to go away from that. I remember his HBO show where he was the nerd in the 80s comedy. He was the Anthony Michael Hall in the 80s comedy. He wasn't the, you know, but I don't know, DVR, I'm willing to let you be the final judge and jury on Joe Buck here.
I think a lot of the critique of Buck or the hatred directed
at
Buck.
No, we're not going to get an answer. He's afraid Joe Buck's
listening. No.
We're not going to get an answer.
He's coming to an answer.
A, Joe Buck's not listening. B, I really don't care if he does. I think people hate him in part because he calls all their big games. I think people think that he and, in football, Aikman, like, root against their favorite team when they generally don't. I think a lot of it's just jealousy. He's got the dream job.
That's kind of how I think.
The typical sports fan looks at Joe Buck and is like, he gets to go to every World Series. He gets to go to some Super Bowls, calls all these big football games every week. He's got the dream life, right? So I think people just hate him because of his job. I think wherever the public is on him, he's better than the public perception. That's not me saying I think he's amazing and good and the best broadcaster out there. If you only read Twitter responses, if you'd never heard of Joe Buck before, and you just went on Twitter during a game he was calling, you'd think, who is this clown? He can't do his job at all. It's like, that's not really accurate.
Well, they say
that about Ian, too, though.
Yeah, it's true. Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, you've seen the iTunes reviews. I mean, you know.
Wait, what? It's true. It's probably true.
Don't let the haters win.
They're probably right. They're probably right.
They're not right. They hate us all. I mean, you should see the ones that I get. They're, you know, it's just people like DVR said, you know.
I kind of like Joe Buck. Like, I look at Joe Buck and I say, I don't watch him in football because I don't watch football, right? I don't watch football. By the way, I don't watch football. I used to watch football, but Joe Buck, so he doesn't annoy me during that. And he only comes out like, I don't know, like for a month for a year, and I'm fine with him. And I like John Smoltz a lot too. I like John Smoltz too. Anyway, though, that was my Pete Alonso thing. I was very impressed with his determination to win. I really was, because I actually believe that in life. I think if you believe that you're going to succeed, you will. And if you believe you're going to fail, and confidence in baseball, like people say, well, what do you look for in a baseball player? I look for, like, the reason I love Juan Soto so much is Juan Soto is willing to have his heart broken, because every time he comes up, he's going, I'm going to beat you, pitcher. That's what I'm looking for in a baseball player, for sure. 100%. I think it's huge.
Huge. Hey, I mean, can't disagree with that. I did a SiriusXM thing at the start of the season where it was like a betting props thing, and you could do it across all the sports. And I took Pete Alonso to be the National League home run leader by the All-Star break. If he didn't get hurt, I think he would have been in the mix. He's going to have a second half. I think he's going to just hammer the second half, man.
I mean, he better have a second half. I mean, the question then becomes, why don't you bring that level of intensity to every game? Because
it's a long season.
It is a long season. But when he's there, I mean, it was unbelievable watching him hit those balls out. And poor Otani. I mean, the guy hit 22 home runs and still looked like a failure while he was doing it. I mean, not a failure. Please don't get me wrong. I mean, but at the home run derby, he looked, I was praying for Soto to win, owning Otani in so many leagues. I was like, last thing I need is for him to do another round. Like, just get out. Just get out. Like, it's just too hard. I also think, last thing on the home run derby, I don't understand why they don't make it cumulative. If you hit 35 home runs in the first round, like, that should count going forward. Like, I just think it should count. And I also think that if it's tied, you should go to who has the longest, not the longest home run, but the longest average home run. So you don't have to swing again. It's just too hard. Now, you ever take, I remember taking BP, like, your body gets tired. You just swinging. It's too much. That's it. That's all I got on that.
You sure?
I got a lot on a lot of other stuff. I can't wait to talk about Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve. Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
I just wanted to skip ahead for a second here, because I talked about this with Al last week, but, you know, there's been a week of stats. You're mean Mercedes value. And I just, you know, I'm obsessed with the guy, and it's not just because, like, I want him to do well now for my own reputation.
Nah, you already got the juice from the Yermin Mercedes.
Well, I mean, he's got a 400 OBP in them. I just think he's like I'm trying to pick him up wherever I can on people who have just kind of given up on him. I think Tony La Russa ruined him. I think it's all Tony La Russa.
Wow. And B, whoa.
He screwed with it. He screwed him up completely. Like, he basically invited the other team to hit him. Didn't have his back. Like, he made comments before about him not following the rules.
But he didn't get hit.
I mean, they threw behind him, yeah, but I mean, like, just knowing that you're... I mean, what if I made public comments about how I don't like the two of you?
I don't buy that.
Wouldn't that make you less enthusiastic to do this show?
I think that the league figured him out.
What you said at the start of the show about Glenn Colton, he's not going to come on the show again. He's going to be disheartened.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. You're such a knucklehead. No, your mean Mercedes got figured out by the league. He's going to have to come up and make adjustments.
No way. He's...
He was hitting, like, 180 in his last month.
He's hitting 323 with a 400 on base percentage right now.
Down in the minor leagues now against AAA pitchers. Sure, he's going to dominate those guys, and he'll come back up and he'll have some success. But look, I watch that. I watch every lineup every day. Yermin Mercedes was in that lineup and not producing for a really long period of time. And I think the White Sox made the right choice in sending him down at that point.
Because Tony La Russa got in his head.
DVR, does that make
DVR,
sense?
DVR, tiebreak at DVR. Oh, I know. He's going to take Ian's side.
I would love to blame all of the problems of this world on Tony La Russa, because it would just feel so good to do that. I'm definitely bothered by how La Russa managed Mercedes, 100%. I don't think that tells the entire story of why he stopped hitting, though. I don't think that was the reason why he fell off after that great first few weeks. I think what I'm wondering is, does he have a path back onto the roster? Because they're starting to get healthier. Eloy Jimenez is closer to returning, right?
Yeah,
so you
sure.
get Eloy back, right. Vaughn, Abreu, and Eloy. Those three guys can play first base, left field, and DH combined.
That's true.
Mercedes doesn't play anywhere else. I don't see him getting back onto this roster. I almost wonder if some other team in the AL might just want to trade for him and give him another 200 plate appearances and see what happens.
Why the AL, man? He could play like three positions in the outfield.
Oh, who?
Mercedes.
three in the outfield.
He could play. Well, I'm sorry,
counting left field twice.
I'm sorry, in the field, he could play third. He could play. He was taking grounders at second last year. I went back and looked at the sleepers that I wrote up. He was taking grounders. He can play the outfield.
No,
he's not like this big lumbering guy who can't play positions.
Yeah, he is. It's exactly what he is. The place that he can end up at is Seattle. That's the place. If he went to Seattle, he would get all sorts of playing time, and I would love to see a little trade there. Throw a little nice reliever, maybe Paul Sewald to Chicago or something like that, or Mayweather for Mercedes. Love that play. Love that. Love that.
That's
Texas OTP. Is another spot.
It's OTP Ian talking now.
Yeah, no, you can. I'm still a mean Mercedes believer. I don't own him anywhere. I traded him. At the same time I was telling you to sell your baseball card, I traded him.
I sold my baseball card and this guy backed out. Whose address right. I have, by the way. And I don't know what to do with
yikes.
It.
Yikes. Oh, no. Yeah. Nothing. Leave that alone. Leave that alone.
Yeah, let that one go. Yeah. Unfortunately.
I'm not even going to drive to Chicago and beat him up. I just mean like you can send like a box of poop to someone.
he'll
never know it's me now. It's been 3 months later. Unless Joe Buck's listening and Joe Buck tells him.
No, right. You can't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Leave it be. Sometimes in life, you got to take the L. Like, you just got to take the L on that one.
I'm not really going to do that.
Yeah.
If you want revenge on anyone or anything here, it's eBay. They're the ones that wronged you. You should go full Chris Liss on this one. You should do the Liss Expedia thing to eBay for the next 5 years. And in the year 2026, you will actually get money back from eBay because you'll have ground them down.
There's only one problem. He's already started buying cards on eBay again.
It's hard to find them elsewhere.
Right. So
I don't think that sniff was necessary. You knew that was happening.
I actually didn't. I was going out on a limb. I was thinking that he was going to go, no way. I did not. But turns out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I want to talk about Gerrit Cole.
Can we get back to the rundown, please?
Please. I'd like to talk about Gerrit Cole. Did you guys see his tantrum on the mound?
I did not.
When they were going to take him out?
Yes. This was like, do you remember the Mike Mussina with Joe Torre? It was in like 2003 or something. And Torre comes to take him out. And Mussina's like, no, you stay there. You stay. No, you're not taking me out. And Torre's like, okay. So Boone goes out there. I mean, Cole was pitching his heart out. That's not the word I was going to use, but he was pitching his heart out.
What are you going to use? Balls?
Nah, something else.
That's not an expression.
No, yeah, it's not, I don't know what it is.
I was going with his butt off. I was going to anyway. All right. I try not to give DVR too much work. He's got a lot on his plate. So he was pitching his butt off out there. I mean, he was killing him. He was dominant. He looked like the Gerrit Cole from 2019 when he came to Yankee Stadium and just shut the Yankees down. He was now doing that in Houston. Okay. 8 2/3. I forget who was coming up for them. It was maybe Yordan Alvarez, I think. Boone comes out. He's got Chapman waiting, who's been a disaster, an absolute disaster. I don't know what he was thinking. But Cole's up at 127 pitches. And Boone said later in the interview, because I watched it, he said, I just went out there to see where he was at and, you know, sort of take the temperature and check with the catcher to see, you know, how he was feeling. Cole just like, no, we're going to get this. I'm going to get this guy. He's mine. And it was so dangerous because Aaron Boone couldn't win at that point because he can't take him out. And if he keeps him in and he loses the lead, he looks like a patsy, right? He looks like he's not strong. So I was really curious watching Boone's face during that at-bat, and they cut to him a couple of times. And he looked a little nervous, understandably. Cole just boom, boom, boom. boom, strikeout, game over. And it was one of the best pitching performances I've seen in 10 years, 20 years, like one of the greatest. 129 pitches the guy threw. 129 pitches.
He's going to come up with arm trouble and they're going to trace it back to that game.
Maybe.
100%. Because he was probably throwing it like as hard as he could and doing things he normally doesn't do because he was on that crazy sticky bad streak, you know?
Yeah. I think that there may be some, that you may be right about that. I hope that's not the case. But in that very same game, Aaron Judge hits a home run. That's the one run they scored. It was a beautiful game. Beautiful game. Hits the home run. And as he crosses third base, he closes his jersey. Did you guys see that?
Yes.
DVR, no. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
That was one of my happiest moments because Aaron Judge believes what I believe, which is that Altuve had something under his jersey, clearly, because that's why he did it. And then what does Altuve come back and do? Because he's a freaking genius baseball player, hits a 3-run home run in one of the most disastrous losses in New York Yankees recent history, losing 8-7 in the last game before the All-Star break, up 7-2 in the ninth, and Chad Green comes in and blows it. Ooh, just a disaster. But all that needs to be said, and I needed to speak to all of it. And tip of the hat to Altuve, man. I mean, that guy is, he's a big-time player. He's a really big-time player. You know what they did? They tore his shirt off in front of everybody. And you know what? He looks fine. He's fine.
Did you see the tattoo?
Yeah, it's tiny. And he's not so shy. Let's be honest.
No.
He's not so shy.
If you do your workouts on Instagram, you're not shy. Period. That's... Doesn't matter how much clothing you are wearing or not wearing. If you are taping, recording, exercise, and putting it out there, you're not shy.
Not shy.
Oh, you know what we never talked about? I don't think we talked about it, unless you guys talked about it when I was gone.
You were gone for a while. So
I know. Well, I mean, it's recent, though. Ian, I just don't remember where it is in my timeline in my brain. Ian winning the Little League World Series again.
Oh.
Did you guys bring that up?
I think we brought it up briefly. I did. The Rangers, in a great... game, 2-1.
Yeah,
the Rangers. Remember, I was like, I love the Rangers. I'm watching the Rangers. My team is the Rangers, and we won the best 2 out of 3 series. Game one, we won 3-0. Game two, they won 1-0, and game three, we won 2-1.
Look at that!
And it was remarkable because we were without our catcher, had to go be a goalie in hockey, so we had to move everybody around in the infield. I put my son behind the plate, had to move our shortstop to first. He's not very good at first. Had to move our third baseman to short. He made like 3 errors.
Well, your catcher chose a random hockey game instead of the
championship. No, it was a championship hockey game, but he's the only goalie on the team. And if he did not play in that game, they would have had to forfeit the championship.
That's like straight out of American Pie.
Yeah, it was really, I don't know. I have Jason Biggs stories I could tell you off air. About a TV show I did with Jason Biggs. Nice guy, but I have fun stories I can tell about that. But then I coached the Little League World Series team and we got our butts handed to us. We ended up losing. We won game one, we lost game two, and then we really lost game three. I was missing 2 of our best players. I can't get into that. But anyway, it was a tough ending, and it took a couple of days for me to remember the Rangers and not just focus on the Little League World Series. But yeah, it was a great season. It was a really great season.
You know, if I was a local New York reporter and I was listening to the show, I would, you know, there's this, like, how would George Washington coach a Little League team? The answer is up in Westchester.
Well,
that would be a good 800 word story on Ian Kahn, all time winningest Little League coach.
I'll tell you what, what's funny? The 3 rules work remarkably well. And rule number one, have fun. Rule number two, focus on every pitch. Rule number three, respect yourself, your teammates, the opponent, and the umpire. That's it.
DVR, sounds like rule number 4 has been dropped in this vaccine.
Rule number 4 has been dropped because for the Little League World Series team, we did not wear masks because there you go. So, we dropped rule number 4.
Can we get back to the rundown?
Please. Yes, that's why I was moving the same direction.
You got Chris Flexen in there.
Yeah, Chris Flexen. DVR, you want to talk about Flexen or you want me to talk about Flexen?
Every time I look at his profile, I don't think he's good. So if you have a case for why he is a good pitcher, I would love to hear it because I just don't think he's good.
All right. Well, then hold on. We got to pull up his recent starts. I got Chris Flexen in AL labor in a trade. He was a good AL only pickup. And basically what he's done, except for one start, and I'm sure you can look this up, DVR, except for one start, has been absolutely dominant, like absolutely amazing. Controlling the strike zone, his pitches, like his pitch numbers, he gets through six innings and 63 pitches. His last three, let's just do his last five starts. Against the Minnesota Twins, eight innings, four hits, eight strikeouts, no walks. The next start, Colorado, 6 2/3, one run. And that was a shutout, by the way. 6 2/3, one run, six strikeouts, two walks. And the one run was a home run. Next game at Toronto, a little tougher, five innings, three runs, still manageable. The next against Texas, six innings, one run, five strikeouts, no walks. And against his last start against the Angels was absolutely dominant. Seven innings, three hits, two walks, six strikeouts, no runs. He came back from, I'm pretty sure it was Japan, maybe it was Korea. Either way, if he's an under the radar guy for me, and he's great with the whip. His strikeouts are not, it may be better for only leagues than he is for mixed leagues, but deeper leagues, 20 team leagues, certainly you should be grabbing him. 15 team leagues, I could make an argument for. And he had that one bad start. It was one bad start at San Diego that really kind of screwed him. But other than that, he came from the East and has been pitching great, and somebody that should be someone that you should be watching.
Corey Brock wrote a really good story about him preseason, talking about the changes that he made when he was overseas.
He's good.
He was
man.
In Korea. It is Korea. Just to,
it is Korea. Thank yeah. you. Yeah. So yeah, he's somebody who, look, if you're a nail only league, you already know who Chris Flexen is.
Where is he dynasty wise? He's only 26. Where is he dynasty wise?
I mean, you know, he's a bit of a soft tosser in some ways. So, but he could make the back end of a top 400 dynasty list at this point. Yeah. I mean, look, I got people asking me for him in trades right now in AL labor, which frankly, I think it's going pretty well. The AL labor is a little nuts how good it's going.
Is Ariel Cohen in that league?
No, he's not, thankfully. No.
What would he say about your performance?
He would say, well, it's really surprising. 106 points out of 120 is really surprising with the 22-point lead over Larry Schechter. That's nothing to sneeze at because he is Larry Schechter. Everything's going right now. It's not going to stick. It's not going to stay here. Still, I spoke to Glenn Colton this weekend. I could lose this league for sure. But this is definitely the league that I'm focusing all my attention on. As I go to sleep at night, you know, do you guys do this when you go to sleep at night? Like the way I fall asleep is I like take a team and I just sort of go catcher. And like I go through the players and I visualize their home runs, you know, and I try to make sure that I know all of them. And by the time I get to, you know, typically by the time I get to utility or my first pitcher, I'm asleep. So as I go to sleep at night, I'm thinking of the AL labor team.
You've got a lot of problems.
No, man.
That we can discuss on the next episode, I guess.
I guess. Who's not trading Victor Robles?
I'm in a league, and I just can't. Like, he's the most impossible. And I talked about this a little bit with Al, but it's like update. I can't give him away. No one's offering anything for Victor Robles. It's pretty rough.
Do you know what I do in that spot? If I'm trying to trade a guy,
him, right?
Yeah. Because if you think about it,
or release him and cause chaos.
I mean, what league is this in?
Scott White Dynasty League.
Not a drop in a dynasty league. Even like I'd like Victor Robles as much as everybody, and he has disappointed me as much as any player has ever disappointed me playing this game. He's not a dynasty league drop. If it's like a 15 team league or deeper, for sure he's a hole.
It's a 24 team league.
24
isn't
team
it?
League.
That's
yeah.
really
yeah,
no, yeah, you can't drop him there.
I think I'm gonna do it. It's a points league.
He's 24 years old. Like,
what's
how many,
his salary? What's his salary in that league?
25, and it goes with 32 next year, I think. It's okay. Points league. It's all about pitchers. You can always get outfielders on the waiver wire.
It's a 24 team league. He plays every day because of his defense, right? He's still a good defender in center field. He's still a guy that only has.
Yeah, but in a points league, that can hurt you.
It can, but we're talking about, 1,100 career plate appearances, a couple injuries in the upper levels of the minor leagues. Like the StatCast numbers stink. I'm not going to tell you they're good, but he's walking more than ever. He's kept the strikeout rate at an acceptable level. If he gets stronger, which is possible, we're talking about multi-years here, I think there's still something there. He's going to be cheaper than ever going into 2022 unless the second half of the season is a complete turnaround, but 2019 happened, and no matter how stupid his StatCast numbers are, how cold blue the highlights are on that page. That season happened, and that season is absolutely one that could happen again, even if you have to dial back the power. The speed is there. The playing time is there. I wonder if a fresh start in a different organization, if he's the kind of guy that gets traded in the offseason, is a possibility. But
yeah.
I always like to bet on guys that play up the middle because they play every day and they get more chances to figure it out than guys that play on the corners. You play on the corners and you don't hit, someone replaces you or you fall into a platoon. You play up the middle and you play great defense, you keep playing. You keep getting those extra lives, those extra chances to become a good big league hitter.
DVR, you want to guess his rostership percentage in CBS leagues right now?
25%.
Ah, 27%.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In mixed leagues right now, shallow mixed leagues, 10, 12 team leagues for sure. Okay.
That's right.
You can't, in redraft, he's a cut for sure. 15 teamers, he's borderline because he's still not even running
$25,
as much.
Bro, $25 is pretty expensive, but you can't cut him. You can't cut him. And what I find when you have a player that you just want to get off your team that nobody else wants, like how I think of it is like, what would it cost to get him? You know, like Willie Castro is a guy like that where I traded for him for a fourth round pick in a dynasty league like 2 weeks ago with Rabbi Ari Sunshine, who always gets a kick out of Derek Van Riper liking the name. But I traded for him and it's like, you know, yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him for the possible upside that he turns it around, you know? So, but I understand the complication on it. It's complicated. It's complicated. But speed does matter. Here's what I would do. Do you have to play him or can you put him to your bench?
I'm in a rebuild mode anyway, so I don't even care at this point. Like, I'm just like, my starting third baseman is Domingo Leyva.
That's not so good. So what I would suggest is,
come on, let's
wait. You wait. Actually, Leyva, I considered picking him up this weekend, but you wait.
Thank you.
And you wait until he gets a little bit, like he goes on a 2 week run. And then somebody needs an outfielder who's competing. And it's like, oh, wow, he's hot. Yeah, give me DL Hall. You know, like give me a prospect. You probably won't get DL Hall in a points league. But, you know, you don't cut bait on somebody who might have value later. Like in XFL, I have Marcell Ozuna. And Steve Gardner and I were talking about it. And he was like, should we drop him? I was like, no, because he might come back, even as just terrible as his situation is. And we're not getting into that. But you know, you got to hold it if you have the roster space available. If you're in a weird league where your roster is really tight, then you make those moves. But no, I would hold on him. We got to talk about Willy Peralta for a minute. Have you guys been keeping up with what Willy Peralta has been doing? Do you guys know who Willy Peralta is?
Never heard of him.
Okay, Willy Peralta, DVR, you know Willy Peralta. You definitely know because he was in Milwaukee.
Wait, yeah, I'm joking.
I was going to say, is that a real question?
I'm sorry, man. I thought you were joking around.
Oh, sorry. It took me a minute. I was like, who's this Willy Peralta guy? Seriously, because I was like in Detroit.
Really?
I was like, it's Willy Peralta.
It's the Willy Peralta.
It's the Willy Peralta.
The 32-year-old Willy Peralta. The 32-year-old Willy Peralta. Hello.
Sit up time.
I told you we're not doing that anymore. That was a reminder for my wife to take the babysitter's shoes that she left at our house. Willy Peralta is somebody who people should have their eye on, I think.
This seems like a big fool me once situation.
Yeah, but that's why it's under the radar. I mean, I could talk more. We could talk about, you know.
Please go. Continue.
We talk about Walker Buehler, some guy. Just in his last few starts since he's gotten into the rotation, three starts at Cleveland, 5 innings, 3 hits, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Then at Texas, 7 innings, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, no walks. Then at Minnesota this past week, and I was like, all right, let's see. I was actually in the Devil's Rejects League where you can pick up anybody. I was watching the game, and I just wanted to see him get through the first 2 innings before I dropped Hansel Robles for him. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 strikeouts. Not many strikeouts. But this is where when I see a guy putting it together who was a former top 100 prospect for a number of years and now is old enough that emotionally he sort of figured things out a little bit. He's not kind of a, you know, kid anymore. He's more of a man. It's like, now's the time. Like, I could see a nice couple of years ahead for Willy Peralta. Look, I also could see him falling off the cliff and, you know, Joe Rossing me, although Joe Ross has been quite excellent, by the way. But that's just a name that for under the radar and AL only, certainly. But even in, you know, deeper leagues, Willy Peralta, W-L-I-L-Y Peralta.
Everybody knows who he is.
Okay. No, there's somebody who just heard you say that, who said, I've never heard of him. So there you go. There's somebody who has not been paying attention as closely as we have since 2012.
He's the bane of every fantasy player's existence. I think, like, at some point, I think someone has believed in Willie Peralta in the last decade and got duped by him. And I don't know if they're going to buy it again.
That's why we're talking about him, because what I'm suggesting is that I was duped by Willie Peralta. He has not pitched in the major leagues on any sort of consistent basis since 2016, right? Since 2016 was the last time he had over 100 innings pitched. He's got stuff, and he's now got craft. There's something sort of, I can't think of his name. What's his name? The guy, the pitcher for the Mets and the Indians that everyone loves, that hit the home run. He's kind of a chubby guy. What's his name? Sorry.
Bartolo Colon?
Yes, there's a Bartolo Colon-esque vibe.
Oh, hold on. DVR, have you heard
of his career?
Bartolo Colon?
Yeah, we had a Bartolo Colon fathead hanging on the office wall at RotoWire's HQ a few years ago. It was just his head, though. It wasn't a full Bartolo Colon, like, here's him throwing a pitch. It was just his face.
Yeah. Anyway, Willie Peralta, everybody. Willie Peralta. Just keep your eye out. You know, pick him up. Don't start him necessarily, but get him cheap now.
Let us know if you've heard of him before, please.
Yes. And no one's going to write on Twitter, actually, I'm the guy who'd never heard of him. But there's someone listening out there.
I think so.
Who started playing in 2019 and has no reason to know who Willie Peralta is. But in 2012, he was kind of a big deal as a 22-year-old prospect. And what did he look like, DVR? Do you have any hate or love for Willie Peralta?
I always thought there was one more level there that he could unlock. He was big at a young age, like very large human on the mound. His mechanics were always kind of off balance is how I would describe them. He would fall off the rubber towards first base and yank a lot of pitches. He still has that sort of delivery, but the thing that's different about him right now, he's got a split change that he didn't used to throw. He doesn't throw as hard as he used to.
Yes, but that split change is everything.
It's a totally different pitch for him. It opens up a lot of interesting possibilities. So if you think about him as a guy that maybe locates his fastball better than he used to. He used to be a sinker guy. He used to have a four-seamer and a sinker. Now he's like four-seamer, the changeup are his two. The changeup's his best pitch. Grades out his best pitch. He got a slider in there too.
That changeup is good, guys.
It's a nasty pitch. And if he's got the feel for it, he's going to keep throwing it more because it's unhittable when he has it working.
So that's what that's what I look for when I see a pitcher throw a pitch that's unhittable and has pedigree, like Joe Ross with his 97 mile an hour fastball slash slider that he throws, or Frankie Montas with his 97 mile an hour fastball slash slider, or Willie Peralta with that changeup.
One of those guys is doing their own thing. That's Frankie Montas. Right, Joe Ross and Willie Peralta are just like these two guys keep popping up every year, and everyone's like, they're awesome! And they have like a 7-game stretch, and then you look at them at the end of the year, and it's like 4.76 ERA, 1.41 whip, 7.2 K per nine. And like, when did I believe in him for that 6-game stretch in the middle of the season? I'll never do it again.
Yeah, I hear you, and I certainly have had that for Joe Ross. Oh, Joe Ross. But Joe Ross, look, even with his two big blowups that have really hurt me in two different leagues, many different leagues, 87 innings, 91 strikeouts, 4.02 ERA, and a 1.20 whip. And that's with remarkably big blowups that he's had. But if you look at his last, you know, since June, he's been overall really good. Tough start in the Mets. But other than that, he's striking out guys, and that matters in this format, in this league. In fantasy baseball.
Hey, I know you got to go, Ian, kind of, we got a hard out, but that listener question down at number 11, I'd like to get to that because without the listeners, what are we?
Yeah.
By the way, fantasypods@theathletic.com.
Yeah, use subject line under the radar.
Send us questions. We'll answer them. Like, we're cool like that. George F. in Washington will answer your question, man. So good.
That's funny.
You know, like I guess I could have called you to tell you this, but like it's fun like pushing your buttons and messing with you on the show.
Yes.
Especially this Ariel Cohen thing. But you are an excellent actor, and I don't think you should be on hiatus. I think you should come back from hiatus and do something. I'm going to write a role for you.
It's not that. I actually, my agent came over and, you know, fully vaccinated, came over and stayed at the house this past weekend, and we're, you know, he's like, it's time to come back. And I'm like, yeah, not yet. I'm doing some other stuff. But so back to this question.
Oh, do you get shy talking about yourself like this?
Nah, it's just people aren't here to talk about that.
I think we should make an animated series. I think that'd be fun. We could make a cartoon.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Do you know that C.J. Abrams is out for the season, and that broke my heart? Just hurt my heart.
Never heard of him.
C.J. Abrams is the...
I know. I'm all right.
Okay, good. Because I was like, dude. Well, Vidal Brohan has already been called up. Actually, I think the guy that I would say...
Wait, did we ask the question?
Yeah, did we not? Who from the Futures game do you think might get called up soon? So the guys that I'm going to say, the guy that I picked up in GDD this week... for a buck is Shane Baz, because he's a beast, Shane Baz. So I would say Shane Baz is one for me, and the other one would be, I want to find like one more. Here's a bit of a long shot, but if the Cubs do a teardown, which it looks like they will, and you know, I was thinking of it from a fantasy baseball perspective, like they came into the season planning to tear the team down. And then the team was doing too well that they couldn't tear the team down, but they were not going to win the World Series with this team. There was almost no chance that they would. So you have to think that the general manager, president, the owner, they're all like, stop winning. And they did. So if they move Rizzo, if they move Bryant, if they move Baez, if they move Contreras, if they move Kimbrel, right? You're going to have some really angry Chicago fans, at least for the next couple of years. But Brennan Davis is coming. And you'd think that maybe they bring Brennan Davis up at the end of the season to get a couple of, you know, get like 6 weeks of baseball to just be something that could get the fans excited. So those would be the two guys, because most of the other guys are far away. Adley Rutschman could come up, but I doubt it. I mean, Baltimore's not going to do that. They're going nowhere, obviously.
Oh, they even called Ryan Bannon up.
Yeah, well,
they added Domingo Leyva before calling up our guy.
So it seems like he'd be a really good third baseman in 2014 league.
He's not having a good season.
I almost picked him up this week in AL labor. I decided against it. Oh, I nice. Got somebody else. Yeah, no, he's fine. He's playing. He's playing a little bit. So Brennan Davis and Shane Baz. DVR, how about you? You got anybody?
The name that really stands out to me is Reed Detmers, because the Angels are not completely buried in the playoff race. They're more likely to be a wild card team than to catch the Astros, but they need pitching. Detmers was considered, I think, the most major league ready pitcher in last year's draft class. He's added velocity, so he could be an impact guy. My only reservation with Baz, Ian, is that he's actually on the Team USA Olympic roster. So that's going to delay that arrival. So
is he? Are you sure? I thought that he wasn't going.
He's on the roster.
Oh, man, that really screwed.
If there's a report that he's not going to go, then I would agree with you. I think he's at least going to come up and work as like a multi-inning reliever, but possibly he'll be part of the solution to help bridge the gap without Glasnow.
I really like, that's why I was thinking as a Glasnow replacement. Reed Detmers, I like a lot. And what he's done so far, as you say, his velocity is up. He's got a remarkable change up. I love his energy on the mound. So if you hear Reed Detmers is getting called up, go get him. Especially, I mean, Dynasty Leagues, he's owned. He's got to be owned. But even in keeper leagues, like if Reed Detmers, I wonder if he's available in Mocky. Like if he gets called up, I would drop down $4 or $5 on him as a keeper. Because he really does have great potential. My only argument is, what the frick are the Angels doing not bringing Joe Adell up at this point? What are they waiting for? They actually need him.
Well, they got a whole new regime. They got a whole new front office, man.
But what are they doing?
Well, like, it's an analytics front office now. It's not right?
He's Joe Adell, man. Joe Adell's going to be their starting right fielder for a number of years. Like, I don't know what they're waiting for. I really don't. I mean, who Juan Lagares? Seriously? Juan Lagares are going to play every day? And I mean, who else is playing every day on that outfield? It's just, it's silly. And so that's the only reason why when I was going through the list, I was like, maybe not Reed Detmers, because they're being so stingy. Being stingy is what they're being.
No, I think they are going to call Adell up. And here's why. When he was hitting a bunch of home runs earlier this season, he was still striking out too much. If you're striking out 30%+ of the time at AAA, you're not going to make contact enough in the big leagues. Like, there's just too much of a gap between those two levels right now. If you go back to mid-June and look at what he's done over the last month, he's got a 24.2% K rate over the past month. Power's come down a little bit while he's done that, but he's made the adjustment that if you're the Angels, you needed to see that before bringing him back up. So he should be back up, and he should play a lot. So you factor in a healthy Trout at some point in the second half, hopefully a healthy Rendon. You add Adell, and you get Justin Upton back out there, and you bring up Reed Detmers, and then maybe you go out and even make a trade or two.
Sure,
that team could be really dangerous. I think
it could be really dangerous.
It's an important 2 weeks for them, though, to keep the pace and even close the gap down on the wild card, because to get buy-in from their lovely ownership group, they are going to need to be a little closer than they are. So they're going to have to probably close that gap a little bit without some of those guys in the lineup. And hopefully they push the chips in, because they're way too exciting a team to not be trying to win right now.
I want to talk about this before we go. There's a guy you may have heard of named Wander Franco.
Nope.
And in his, I saw him last weekend, and there was something that happened that kind of made me raise an eyebrow. I didn't like it. It was two strikes. He was hitting, and it was a pitch. It wasn't low. It was a strike. And he, strike three, called. He turns around to the umpire, and he gives him such guff, and then walks back to the dugout and turns his head back at the guy. And I thought, I don't like that. I don't like a rookie 2 weeks up setting terms with umpires that way. It's not smart. Like, how you are with umpires matters in the major leagues. Because that look, you learn this in Little League. The umpire is going to give you the pitch, or they're going to take the pitch away. That's why I always go over to every umpire before the game, and I tell them the three rules. Have fun. Focus on every pitch. Respect yourself, your teammates, the opponent, and the umpire. And the umpire's eyes get really wide, and they're like, that's great, sir. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get that pitch in the fifth inning that I need. You turn around and you start giving guff to the umpires a week into your major league career? Nah.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say it shows confidence. It's what a veteran would do in that situation. If a veteran doesn't like the call, he's going to let the umpire know about it. It's trying to earn calls later.
Call, DBR. It was a strike.
It was a matter of opinion.
Was it wrong based on the TV box, though? Like, bottom of the zone on the TV box?
It wasn't even bottom of the zone. There was not even a part of the ball that was touching the line.
Was he arguing a pitch from earlier in the at-bat instead of the one that was close then? Like,
I don't know. It looked like he was arguing that pitch. You like that? You think that that's...
I don't have a problem with it, because it
really,
to me, okay. If you feel like you got burned on a call, you should say something about it. You shouldn't just stand there and be like, oh, okay, I'm out, and just walk back to the dugout. This is going to be never strike. Look at his track record. This guy never strikes out. His strike zone judgment is probably as good as any prospect we've seen coming into the league in the last 10 years, at least. Like, I mean, we just don't see guys that have sub 10% K rates, 12% K rate at AAA. He's drawn walks at plenty of stops. Like,
I see your point, Van Riper.
Yes.
I still think that, you know, considering the ball was a strike based on StatCast stats, that he really did overstep. But nah, I respect your opinion, Van Riper.
I don't want there to be tears in the game where a rookie can do this and a rookie can't do that. Okay. I hate that. You're a big leaguer. You're a big leaguer. That's it.
I just don't think it's smart to establish a relationship with umpires early in your career. That is confrontational. That's all. That was my opinion. But you know what? I like your opinion too. Nando, break the tie. What do you think?
I'm actually with DVR on this one, man.
Yeah, you're both wrong. Clowns.
He should be able to yell if he wants to, man.
Yeah. All right.
You know, okay. Like, people get, like, think about when you were playing like high school basketball and yelled the ref and got a technical. You know, like that you got a technical for it. You were playing like a professional. That's just how it is.
He didn't get tossed. He didn't hurt his team.
Yeah. Nope. He didn't get tossed. Didn't hurt his team. This is a subtle little thing, but you know what? Cool, cool, cool. I respect it. I respect you guys. Last point before we get a run, the MLB draft. Did you guys watch the MLB draft? I did watch the MLB draft. Did you guys watch it?
In and out.
How do you have? Do you have like 48 hours in a day somehow?
No,
he takes the pill from Limitless.
Yeah, seriously, man.
No. It's just that when I'm not,
you
watch
everything.
No, I don't watch everything, but MLB draft, home run derby, these happen at night. And I want to watch it. I definitely wanted to watch the MLB draft. I was fascinated as hell. I think the Kumar Rocker number 10 going to the Mets is, you know, he's got to be happy. I mean, that dude's got to be happy.
I was so sick of him 5 minutes after it happened because every single person on Twitter was suddenly a Kumar Rocker genius and knew everything about him. And they were, Kumar Rocker to the Mets is amazing.
It is amazing.
You've never once mentioned minor league baseball ever in your feed. You have no idea who Kumar Rocker is.
I know who Kumar Rocker is.
And
Kumar
Rocker that wasn't going to you.
But going to New York is something really cool about that. I like that. I love Jack Leiter going to the Rangers. I think that's phenomenal. I think Marcelo Mayer going to the Boston Red Sox is a major problem as a Yankee fan. Like, that is not something that I wanted to see at all. Henry Davis, number one to the Pittsburgh Pirates. The only explanation for that is that he came in under slot. Jordan Lawler falling to the Diamondbacks. Like, a lot of the players went to the right spots. That's what it felt like to me. It's like there weren't that many surprises, though. The Royals taking that pitcher, it's weird. We get into the MLB draft at some other point, but like the whole idea of taking guys so you can pay them less, it's weird. I don't love that part of it, but play within the context of the game. That's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, if those spots had assigned slots and there was no negotiation and every team was just taking the absolute best player on the board, I think that would be better overall. But it's hard to fault teams for trying to basically get the best collection of players, right? If you save money early, you get more in rounds 2 and 3.
I mean, they got Bubba Chandler in the third round. Bubba from Georgia, who's a two-way player, probably going to end up a pitcher. And he was a possible top 15 pick, but he was committed to Clemson. And the fact that Bubba, he changed, like, they made a deal, $750,000, I think, or whatever. And he's going to play baseball for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And so the Pirates really helped themselves, which is good. They really helped themselves this week.
Bubba Starling, man.
Bubba Chandler.
I haven't thought of Bubba Starling in a while. Like, he was so close and then just fell back to earth.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's one of the takeaways from today's show is thinking about Victor Robles and him being a top five prospect for so long. Like, when they missed on that one, we missed on that one. Like, it looks like he's not going to be. And Brennan Davis is the next one. I mean Brennan Davis, two home runs in the Futures game, great guy, great kid, great future, lots of tools. If he can put it together, the Cubs will be really happy. I hope the Cubs do a full rebuild. I hope they really get paid for these players. I hope that they get good players for Bryant and for Rizzo and for Baez. I think they should move them all. And it's the same thing.
They're pretty good with that stuff, the Cubs.
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot for Darvish. I mean, they got a lot of salary relief for Darvish, but they got a lot of kids in low A. Jason Dominguez moving up to low A. Hello, everybody. Here comes the Martian.
You excited?
Yeah, kind of. I'm sort of pleased. Sure, why not? Gives him the possibility of making it to the majors by 21. That's fun. And watching him run is pretty. He's really fast. He's really big and really fast. Interesting player. Interesting. We'll see how it turns out.
Did you like the actor who played Benedict Arnold, or were you happy that they turned him into kind of like a weak? I was joking. I thought you were going to say yes. You love everybody.
No,
you don't have to answer
no.
that honestly.
No, I have an interesting story about that. So the first three seasons, he was my number two, right? Pretty much. I mean, Talmadge is my number two, but I actually got annoyed because in one scene he calls me George. I don't know if you caught that, but I look at him like, don't call me George.
I did.
Don't call me George. But he thinks of himself as very much my Washington's equal on the show or in life. And there's some truth to that. I mean, I've always described him as the Tom Brady, because if he doesn't win the Battle of Saratoga, the war's over right there. So Owen and I were very close the first three seasons of the show. And then the first time I saw him in his red uniform, season four, I just couldn't talk to him after that. I just couldn't talk to him.
That's really sad.
And then at the end of the show, we but that season was hard because I was just like, I'm spending every day thinking about you and seeing you. It's like, before I go to sleep, instead of thinking about my catchers and my first baseman in labor, I'm thinking about you and how I'm going to take you down, because that's what the show was about, right? And And so it was hard. So I would see him in the red coat and I just was like, yeah, I'm not talking to you, dude.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, screw you. And I was like, fair enough. And then when we wrapped, we gave each other a big hug and kind of buried the traitorous hatchet. Freaking traitor. That's what he is. He's a freaking traitor.
Well, you know, compelling reasons, you know.
No, but he's a great guy and he's got a lovely wife, lovely daughter. And I've seen him a few times since he lives in LA. So I haven't seen him as much as I would have if we were on the same coast, but no, he's great. He's a great actor too. And a good guy.
Got to watch that show, man. Like, I know it's like historical drama, but it's really not, it's like a show.
No, it's not, you know, people say, is it historical fiction? There's one thing that was fictionalized in season one that people got their, you know, they got annoyed about. Which I understand, I kind of get, but no, it's like we pretty much do it the way it happened.
The John Andre, I mean, it's history, so it's not a spoiler alert, but the John Andre.
Yeah, it's good stuff, right?
How he left the show was exactly as it happened in real life.
Yep, like, exactly. Like, and that meeting.
Everything.
And that scene that he and I did, it was one of my favorite scenes to do, just to work with JJ Field. He's another really great actor. Oh, very
man.
Smooth.
Oh, man.
Very
good. A lot of emotion in the house that night.
Yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah. DVR, you should watch.
DVR, come on, man. How could you not watch a co-host TV show that he started?
Because he's busy. He's got lots on his plate. He'll have time in January.
I will have a lot of time in the off season, and I will watch it in the off season. And I'll also watch Midnight Run between now and opening day 2022.
On Netflix. All right, I gotta go. I really gotta go.
We gotta go.
I would do this all day, but I gotta go.
All right, we gotta get out of here. For the guy who 100% has his little leaguers holding their jerseys tight now for the rest of their careers, Ian Khan.
That is true, for sure.
For the guy who doesn't think our show is good enough for Joe Buck, Derek Van Riba.
Joe Buck could enjoy the show. I just think he's even busier than I am, so there's no way he's listening to our podcast.
Thank you all very much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. We're back, and we'll see you next week with more Under the Radar.
Good talk. Good talk. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.